I remember Fantasia Forest. And I'm one of the few people who's willing to admit that, and I'm probably the only person who remembers it for all the good instead of all the bad. I'll never forget the summer it opened. The summer of 1954. I knew I was in for something special when I saw those massive, brilliantly colored mushrooms decorating the parking lot. As I marched past the cement toadstools, I came upon a castle. An honest-to-God pink castle. My 8-year-old brain practically exploded. First thing that greeted you on the other side of that castle was a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty. He sat perched on the stone wall, pointing you towards the winding path that stretched from one magical scene to the next. As you walked along, you saw a statue of the Pied Piper leading away a group of hypnotized children. Then there was a big fiberglass shoe with crooked windows and a plastic slide. Beyond that, you found yourself in front of a 2-story house. Only this was the house from Hansel and Gretel. The walkway was lined with monstrous large candy canes, gumdrops scattered across the gingerbread walls. Chocolate balconies overlooked the garden, and a chimney in the shape of an ice cream cone poked out of that sugar-frosted roof. You could get lost exploring the gnome village. All those rustic huts and leering faces, and eventually you'd arrive at Old MacDonald's Farm, which is a petting zoo. Rabbits, goats, pigs, ducks, sheep, you name it. If you wanted, you'd even hitch a ride in Cinderella's pumpkin coach. Of course, employees were dressed up everywhere you looked. Alice, Sleeping Beauty, Red Riding Hood, Tom Thumb, even Mother Goose herself. It was a living tribute to the imagination. You have to understand something. Before Fantasia Forest came along, theme parks didn't exist. Back then, you were lucky to find a few kiddie parks here and there, but frankly, there wasn't much. Most merry-go-rounds, a couple of dusty ponies, a bunch of picnic tables covered in bird crap, and that was it. Phil Ballard dreamed of something bigger. Phil was a local businessman, owned a few different stores around town. Everyone seemed to know Phil. Everyone loved him. Every town probably has a Phil Ballard. Upstanding citizen, always quick with a smile and a handshake. Kathleen, his wife, was like that too. She came from a prominent family and spent a lot of her time volunteering, working with charities, hosting fundraisers. I remember my parents going to a few of those. All in all, Phil and Kathleen were the perfect couple. They had money, friends. The only thing they were missing was a bundle of joy to call their own. It took him a while. Phil managed to secure 20 acres of land just off the highway. In a year, he had a park dedicated to all the classic fairy tales and nursery rhymes. The place was an instant hit. I remember crowds of tourists. I'd never seen so many out-of-town license plates before. We must have had thousands of visitors that summer. It was a huge boost to the local economy. The hotels and restaurants all cleaned up. Newspapers were mentioning us all over the country. If Phil was a hero before Fantasia Forest, then he was a downright saint afterward. There was a rumor that a fellow by the name of Walt Disney had dropped by one afternoon, looking to find some inspiration for his own little park. I don't know if that story is really true or not. It should be. Phil even had some of the employees dressed as his own original characters. A wacky lamb with the legs of a spider, a man with 3 twisted heads stacked on top of each other. And a cheerful little imp who wore a blood-red robe, always carried his trusty cat-o'-nine-tails. I don't think any of them ever spoke, but that's what gave them their charm. Allard's Bozos. I was having so much fun that summer, I did my best to ignore the silly things some of the other kids were saying, like how the costumes for Phil's characters didn't have any zippers. Apparently, the rumor started when the kids overheard a few staff members talking about how no one knew who was really underneath those oversized masks. I can't blame the kids, but the staff should have known better. So Phil hired some outside help, but didn't tell anyone. It helped maintain the fantasy. It was a brilliant idea. Much harder to ignore, though, was the news. Kathleen's death. She had drowned in a bathtub after overdosing on some medications. That hit everyone like a sledgehammer. Phil, God bless him, shouldered his grief with grace and dignity. He was still the same old Phil, always smiling, always quick with a handshake. After a few weeks, things seemed to feel normal again, but then... then came that weekend in August. I went to bed after a glorious Saturday at Fantasia Forest, expecting to do the whole thing all over again when I woke up. How wrong I was. First, the news said that 8 children had gone missing. My friends told me the number was really 9. I guess numbers besides the point. Kids were missing, plain and simple. I didn't know any of them, but they were children just like me. Innocent little children, gone in the blink of an eye. Everyone had a theory. Kidnappings, runaways, mass suicides, ritual sacrifice, frickin' alien abductions. The only thing the poor youngsters had in common was their last known location. Fantasia Forest. Well, of course, all the kids were there. That hardly proves a thing, but for most people, it was enough to get them talking. They said that Kathleen's family never believed her death was accidental, that she was even pregnant at the time. Others said that she'd been worried about Phil's behavior for months. He was obsessed with his theme park, one story went. He was talking to himself behind closed doors, went another. The craziest one by far was that he believed his Bozo characters weren't characters at all, but that they had actually climbed through his window one night and told him to build Fantasia Forest. What a load of nonsense. I suppose the Bozos even convinced him to kill his wife and unborn baby. Police never found a shred of evidence that Phil hurt Kathleen, or anyone else for that matter. But did the busybodies care about evidence? Not for a minute. They were all convinced that Phil had something to do with those missing kids. He buried their corpses under the Gnome Village. He turned them into statues, blah, blah, blah. In less than a month, Phil had gone from the town's favorite son to the town's favorite boogeyman. It was all too much for him. The workers found Phil one morning in the gingerbread houses. He slipped in some paint during the night and hung himself. There was no suicide note. The townsfolk got their wish. Good man is dead. Fantasia Forest was shut down for the winter. Reopened the next spring under new management. Unfortunately, the damage had already been done. People stayed away. Attendance shriveled up. And to make things worse, Disneyland opened the same year. Fantasia just didn't keep up. The park was shuttered later that fall. This time for good. I'd always kept waiting for it to be turned into a strip mall or condominium. But for some reason, that never happened. Fantasia Forest just sat there year after year, those beautiful statues and buildings left to rot. You could still see the pink castle spires from the highway, peeking out from behind the treetops. Giant holes pockmarked the fake brickwork, giving you a nice view of the skeletal rebarb frame. I'm sometimes tempted to drive down and take a closer look. That load of good that'll do. I had to put up a barbed wire fence to keep out all the vandals. I suppose I should be thankful. Seeing the place abandoned and decaying just remind me of how much the time had gone by. Oh, that little 8-year-old kid is now an old man with a bad back, arthritic knee. Finally, some good news. I had just heard a local businessman was planning to renovate the park. He's gonna make it bigger and better than ever before, and I'll be the first one through the castle gates, right along with my grandkids. They're gonna have the time of their lives exploring the gnome village, climbing in and out of the gingerbread house, playing with the funny bozos. We'll be there because Fantasia Forest is still a wonderful dream. And like Phil always says, you can't kill a dream.